You're with Joseph Arthur and his Technicolor Dreamcast on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back. Elon Musk dismissed the notion of former President Donald Trump running for office again in 2024, with Governor Ron DeSantis as his running mate, saying that Trump was too old and that DeSantis would wipe the floor with Democrat President Joe Biden in an election. Musk's remark come as he was faced increased attacks from the former president, despite stating publicly that he did not hate Trump. "I don't hate the man, but it's time for Trump to hang up his hat and sail into the sunset," Musk tweeted. "Dems should also call off the attack. Don't make it so that Trump's only way to survive is to regain the presidency." Smart guy, Elon Musk. When someone advocated for a Trump-DeSantis ticket in 2024, Musk responded, "Trump would be 82 at the end of term, which is too old to be chief executive of anything, let alone the United States of America. If DeSantis runs against Biden in 2024, then DeSantis will easily win. He doesn't even need to campaign," Musk said. Well, I have to say, I agree with this completely. I listen to Nino sometimes, who says Ron is possibly a setup from the deep state, as the media is favoring him, and that can't be a good sign. Corruption looming large here in the upside down. But that possibility aside, and maybe this is a result of their manipulations working on me, but I do think Ron is the perfect candidate to perhaps shift the country into a positive direction. We couldn't do worse than Biden, who only shows signs of life when he is bringing about policies which help China and hurt America. But try not to notice the exposed corrupt connections between Hunter and China, and then Joe and Hunter, the big guy, gets his 10%. So obviously, Joe needs to go. Trump is better than Joe, obviously, but still, he came out selling the toxic shot, which is odd, and he comes with so much baggage. Fair or not, I don't feel like hearing about it relentlessly for the next 4 years. And the age thing is a legitimate concern. 82 at the end of his term is crazy old for that job. He does have a lot of life force in him, but still, that's getting up there. Ron is primed. He's young, not too young. He's experienced, and he wants to do the opposite of everything Joe Biden does, which is obviously the correct direction. He also speaks out against tyranny and Marxism, and his track record shows some sincerity in that direction. Not that he's perfect, and the question that he might be controlled opposition in our political theater is certainly valid, but you could say the same thing about Trump. Certainly some of his actions around the shots point to that direction. Ron has my vote, though, at least for now, and I agree he could basically waltz into the White House at this point. Join Misty Winston from Freedom Fest 2022 at the Mirage in Vegas from July 13th, that's now, to the 16th. Freedom Fest is an annual festival where free minds meet to celebrate great books, great ideas, and great thinkers in an open-minded environment. Freedom Fest, the largest liberty event in the world, heard only on TNT Radio. We'll be right back on TNT.
Abroad or at home, this is your news.
By staying silent, we are part of the problem.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
I picture you in the sun, wondering what went wrong, and falling down on your knees, asking for sympathy, and being caught in between all you wish for and all you've seen, and trying to find anything you can feel that you can believe in. May God's love be with you always. May God's love be with you. I know I would apologize if I could see your eyes, 'cause when you showed me myself, you know, I became someone else. But I was caught in between all you wish for and all you need. I picture you fast asleep, a nightmare comes but you can't keep away.
May God's love be with you always. May God's love be with you always.
All right, everybody, and we're here with Steve Reese, who's a harpist that travels nationally and internationally presenting beautiful, calming harp music. He's also a registered nurse, and in 1998, he began to see and understand the amazing physiological effects of harp music on the body. How you doing, Steve? I'm super happy to talk to you tonight, and you're right in my wheelhouse of the healing power of music.
Oh, I'm great. Yeah, thanks for bringing me on. This is fun.
Yeah, so, well, thanks for coming. So, talk about, so you built a harp, and you sort of equate it with biblical properties as well. Explain a little bit of how you got into what you're doing.
Well, the harp is certainly a very biblical instrument. It's the second most mentioned instrument in the Bible, second to the shofar. So it's, you see it mentioned all from Genesis all the way through Revelation. So definitely a biblical. So, and I've always loved Celtic music, and harps have always been part of that genre. And I just had this fascination that someday I'd like to try it. And so that's what I did. I got a small kit and made one and said, let's see what happens. And here I am. So it's pretty interesting.
It is. It's an interesting choice to be drawn to the harp, because it's not your typical story about, oh, I got into music because I liked Kiss, you know.
Right.
It's like, yeah, right. You know, you sidetracked all that. You got into harp, and that's a unique path, I would say.
It is. Everywhere, yeah. I go, people tell me, a lot of people ask me what it is, and then many people say, I've never seen somebody play one. And so it does have a unique place to the world here.
What do you think drew you to it?
You know, I have to go to a spiritual, I think, if I'm going to really be honest. I think, Psalm 139 says that before I was created in my mother's womb, before my parts were yet formed, God was knitting things into me that he was going to bring out in my life. He was preparing me to be something. And for some odd reason, I think he put that in me way back, and it just took me till I was 45 years old for it to come out. So
that's interesting. So you started, I guess, relatively late in the music realm. Most people pick up on things in childhood and stuff like that. So talk to me a little bit. Something I do is tune to 432, you know, because the theory about sound waves, I'm not tuned there right now because I've been recording music and using harmonicas, and I haven't found any 432 harmonicas yet. They probably exist, but I haven't looked hard. But so the theory is, and for people that don't know, 440 is typical, where you tune A440, and then, you know, but apparently A440 has sort of angular sound waves, whereas 432 has these, sort of beautiful snowflake or, you know, pattern type sound waves where you can analyze the patterns of these things. And there's a theory, I guess you'd call it a conspiracy theory, that they don't want people tuning to 432 because it's so powerful. I've even heard that, you know, iTunes will take things down. I don't know that that's true. I doubt that's true, but I've heard stuff like that where they'll even try to limit it because of its power, its innate power. And I was reading about you, and it said 528 was a frequency you tuned into. So talk to me about the frequencies and the healing powers of those.
Yeah. So I'll just make a comment on 432, because there is kind of I actually tuned to 444 as my calibration, because you have to be at 444 to get to 528. But it's not an either or. 432 is the natural tuning. It's has to do with the Fibonacci numbers, the golden mean, the angle, the measure of the angles of all of the different polygons of geometry. So it is associated with what I call the natural world. And then the 444 actually comes out of scripture. Actually, it itself doesn't, but the 528, the 417, 369, what's called the solfeggio frequencies, those actually come out of Numbers chapter 7. And I give Dr. Pulio, who wrote a book with Dr. Leonard Horowitz, credit for helping me catch on to that side of things. So I like to call them the sacred or the spiritual tuning, because in Numbers chapter 7, Moses has just set up the tabernacle, and the patterns that reveal these frequencies are every six verses, a new tribe brings the dedication gift to the tabernacle, and they're exactly the same gifts, which is kind of weird because why would you repeat the same thing 12 times? But it does. And so that if you're a Hebrew scholar, when you repeat twice, it means pay attention. To repeat 12 times is like this huge tip off that there's something very important here. And when you dig into the patterns, you find those frequency numbers. And then Pulio paved the way to also take those. So those frequencies are notes. And the 528 is the most important one, I think, because even today it's called the miracle frequency. Matsuro Emoto did a whole study on water, and the 528 right. was actually able to help restructure water. And we are 75 to 80% water, so what do you think that's doing to us as well? And so yeah. when I started playing the harp for my patients on hemodialysis, I started seeing really incredible physiological effects. Blood pressure's coming down, heart rate's coming down, oxygen saturation's coming up, people sleeping that couldn't sleep, pain medicine working that wasn't working. And so I started to, and then I was reading when David was brought in to play for King Saul when he had a troubling spirit. And as he played the harp, that troubling spirit left, and I started thinking that that's something what I'm seeing here physiologically. So that got me on the whole track of discovering Joseph Pulio and Dr. Horowitz and others who felt that these frequencies were actually, and I've gotten to the point where I think the 528 is actually what I call the creator's frequency, because and I'm kind of jumping around here a bit, I'm trying to help you understand, there's each Hebrew letter has an associated note that goes with it, and the notes are based on those six frequencies out of Numbers chapter 7. And so when you take one Hebrew word and you work out letter to note on that one word, when you play more than one note at the same time, you have a chord. And so when you go word to word to word, you have chord progression. And that's really how music works. And so when you take the name of God, which is the Yod, He, Vav, He, that gives you the C major chord, which is based on the 528 frequency. And so I think he didn't say let there be light in creation. He, I believe, sang it in 528 frequency. And
wow.
So that's why I think this 528 frequency is so important, because if I leave my harp in a room for a couple of weeks and then go try to play it, it's going to sound terrible because it's out of tune. And so ever since the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden, we have been exposed to toxins, to sin, to all kinds of stuff that have got us out of tune. And so now that we're getting this understanding, I believe we're actually being given the opportunity to tune back to where we were designed to be. And so instead of being in dis-ease, we can now be in ease. So
Does that work in your own life? Do you have I know there's lots of YouTube clips with like 528 frequency or healing frequency. Right. There's even like 8 hour ones or 10 hour ones that you can put on while you're sleeping. Right. Do you recommend things like that?
Yeah, I think that if you just have the tone going, it's fine. So a lot of people say it gets monotonous. And so I have a lot of people tell me that my harp music, they really enjoy because it's melodic. It's got that basic frequency sounding through the whole piece, but it has all of the other harmonizing frequencies along with it so that it maintains a much more melodic, more pleasing, more soothing, I guess you could say, sound to it. I have people write me all the time on my YouTube channel that they couldn't sleep and now they're sleeping and they're so grateful. And there's been some amazing scientific studies on the whole effects of music on so many different things, from everything from real life. There's a study, I hope I'm not talking too much over you or anything. I just have all this information in me, but there's a study down in El Paso, Texas at a cardiac and heart hospital where they were doing treadmills and they would take the people to their max point where they had to stop. And then they would bring them back another day and have them listen to music and do the same test on them. And they were able to do 25% more. So in other words, the music increased their cardiac output by 25%.
And, all right, we got to go to a quick break and we'll be right back with Steve Reese after these words on TNT.
TNT Radio's Hervoy Morich.
His site publishes hundreds of informative articles, news stories, and videos weekly. Hello, Mark.
I'm glad that TNT Radio is a bastion of free speech. There's been a lot just in the last 48 hours, huh? That's gone down from here in the United States. The Georgia Guidestones were blown up. And the next day we have that disheveled buffoon known as the Prime Minister of England resigns. And then early this morning, the assassination of the former Prime Minister of Japan, all within 48 hours. Interesting world we're living in. The thing about the Georgia Guidestones, I wrote a little piece, and so the rebellion to take back our country on Earth has finally begun. I've been waiting for this exact event to take place for years.
Hervoy Morich on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
The 2020 election was the most secure in U.S. history. There has been no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
He lost a fair and secure election.
The most secure
election in American history.
Really?
All those of you who volunteered and worked the polls, you deserve a special thanks from the entire nation.
This one mule made 53 trips to 20 drop boxes. He's not alone. We tracked 2,000 mules making multiple ballot drops. Leaving no fingerprints. Snapping photos to get paid. A coordinated ring of illegal vote harvesting in all the key states where the election was decided.
They've delivered us a clear victory.
Game over.
Stream at Salem Now or Locals.
The new communism is COVIDism. Mandating that the truth be told, this is TNT Radio.
Tune my guitar to 444. This is what it sounds like. Steve Reese, a harpist, told me so.
and he's on the TNT radio show. Oh yeah.
So that's tuned to 444. I tuned up real quick in the break. I don't know if it was more godly or anything, but there you go. All right. I was trying to tap in, bro.
Well, you're doing a good job.
Thanks, man. You know, it's funny listening to you talk about that stuff and how effective those tones are. It just kind of makes you wonder, like, they should be chiming that music in, you know, and chiming that tone in on every hospital on the planet, really, shouldn't they?
Oh, absolutely. And some are. I have quite a few birthing centers that are using my music. A lot of senior centers are using it. Several have called and asked me if they could use the music to just play, because I have video backing up the music on my YouTube channels. And they said, would it be possible if we could just play that for the background? And I said, yeah, absolutely. That's what it's out there for. You know, so I don't consider it my music because it's coming out of the Hebrew text of the Psalms of David. And so he's the one that prophetically wrote initially. And I believe I'm tapping into some of what he did. I still want to sit down with him one of these days and go, okay, I want to hear your version. but I do honestly believe that there's a relationship going on there, that it's kind of like multimedia. When you have one, just a sound of something, the retention is at a certain level. When you add video along with it, that retention doubles. And if you add like smell or something else, it's going to even grow more. So it gives a more dimensional aspect to it.
Now, was this your original idea to reinterpret these Hebrew words as music? I mean, that seems like a profound leap to me.
It started with reading that's 1 Samuel 1, chapter 16, where King David, well, he wasn't king yet, where he played for Saul, who was the king, and when he had a troubling spirit. And so that got me started asking, okay, if David had that, and he wrote the Psalms, and the Psalms are really a song book, does anybody know what his music would have sounded like? That was my first question. And interestingly enough, my wife and I went over to Israel in 2006 for a Feast of Tabernacles celebration. And while I was there, I decided to talk with rabbis and archaeologists and whoever, you know, does anybody know? And, you know, the obvious question, has anybody found sheet music in an archaeological dig? Obviously, the answer there was obviously no, but the best response I got was from a fellow over there, Mika Harari, who he has House of Harari. He builds a little 22-string harp, and it's 22-string because there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and he carved a letter at the base of each string. And so I asked him, I said, how did you decide which note was which letter? And he said, oh, I just started at the bottom, went to the top. But it got me started thinking that there might be a relationship linearly between. So if you took the middle of the alphabet and brought it to the middle of the musical scale and went up and down from there, maybe you would have something that was relatable. And so that's what I started with. And I started doing some music with that. And then I ran into Dr. Horowitz and Dr. Polio's book, Biological. I always forget the name of the book. It's Biblical Codes for the Biological Apocalypse, I think is what it's called. But in that, Joseph had a chapter where he said he had gotten a revelation from the Holy Spirit that gave him this understanding of where those frequencies were in Numbers chapter 7. And I started working with that. One day, Leonard gave me a phone call. He said, Steve, I heard some of your stuff on YouTube. He said, we knew that there was music coming out of the scripture, but you know what to do with it. So it's interesting. He even carries some of my CDs on his online store today. But
I can't wait to do a deep dive on your music. And I'm wondering as well, so you're saying this music you're transcribing from the Psalms, right? So have you ever thought to sing the lyrics of the Psalms? Because they're very poetic as well. They could be lyrics over top of, you know, so maybe maybe David was the first singer-songwriter, really.
Yeah.
Have you thought about doing that?
I have, and I've done a little bit of it. I don't have a real good singing voice. I've got one on YouTube that I went ahead and posted up there that I am singing with. It's Psalm 91. And the way I've done it is I don't go word for word like you would read. And by the way, which version would you use anyway? Which version of the Bible would you use? Because they all have different wordings. So what I did was I took the main thoughts and made the verses and choruses out of those main thoughts of the coming along with the music that did come out of those chord progressions. So
that's genius, man. I mean, that is a leap of faith, a leap of insight. It's incredible. All right, we got to go to news. We'll be right back with Steve Reese after these words on TNT.
With a check of the day's headlines, I'm Darren Metzer. Turkey has helped the United Nations broker a deal between Russia and Ukraine to resume exporting grain out of Ukraine's Black Sea ports in an effort to curb a global food crisis. Two candidates have already been knocked out of the race to replace disgraced UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson, leaving just six politicians in the ring. And inflation has hit frightening levels in the United States as the cost of everything continues to creep up, but it's all cool and normal at the White House.
We're the pinup boys and poster girls for free speech. We just don't look as impressive as Vladimir Putin shirtless on a horse. Yeah. 24/7, 365. We never stop sifting fact from fiction, misinformation from the truth. From government overreach to the latest on mandates, big tech censorship to propaganda gone mad. Listen to TNT Radio and get the news and views direct from our expert presenters and commentators anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
And we're back with Steve Reese, who's a harpist and a nurse, and he's an expert in matters of transcribing biblical text to harp music in frequency that is 528 and healing and deeply healing. Why do you think that 440 became the dominant frequency of popular music?
Well, there's several theories out there, and I've heard several. A lot believe that it was a way of causing, if you think about 444 being a little bit sharper than the 440, it's interesting because before I even understood anything about this, I always used to tune just a little bit slightly sharp just because it sounded better to me. And I just think that was my DNA telling me where I was supposed to be. But so you could, if you just take that thought right there, if somebody wanted to flatten people out a little bit, then you flatten the sound and it would, could conceivably cause people to be more lethargic, to less, you know, put up less of a struggle against, you know, what they're supposed to do. So if you're somebody trying to gain power over people, you could see how it could possibly be a thought that they would try to calm people down so that they would accept whatever it was that they threw at them, you know. That's one of the main theories, whether it was Hitler or whether it was Rothschilds or whether it was, you know, I've heard all of those different names used in that theory. But
yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Hitler one. That's the one. I had always heard it was like more angular. It was more agitating. It kept people a little bit more anxious. So it's interesting to hear you frame it as it makes them more lethargic, possibly.
Yeah. And I don't know if anybody actually, I still haven't seen any absolute proof about any of those theories. So, but just thinking of the reasoning about what could possibly be.
Yeah, and it kind of makes you question, like, well, did Hitler really understand frequencies and sound waves like that? I mean, maybe I guess he had a team of experts that told that.
Well, that's what I would say. To it. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure he would have had a. If it was him, then he probably had some expert that said, "Hey, you know, this is what we should be doing." You know.
But, so, what is your perspective on popular music? As this is your, you know, sort of life's work and your passion to be healing through music. Do you rate any of it? Are you fans of any of it, or do you think of it as, I don't know, troubling in any way?
Well, there's a lot of music that personally to me is troubling. I'm rather eclectic. I love a good bluegrass band. I love an incredibly well-played pipe organ. I love vocals. I love some of the old hymns. I love a lot of the new stuff. I'm quite eclectic as far as that goes, but there's some stuff that when somebody goes by me in a car that their fenders are rattling because the bass is tuned up so far that it's got to be taking their ears out within a few years, that's where you're starting to go into, I think, harmful effects of music. And then others where they're just screaming and I can't even understand what the words are. It kind of makes me go like, what's the point if you're not even getting your message across? You know, I don't know. I'm 69 years old, so somebody could just call me an old fart and be, so.
They could dismiss you, Steve. So,
exactly.
But so like, you know, you're tuned into the healing effects of music and the power of that. I'm wondering if that makes you notice the opposite view, I guess, was where that question was going. Like, do you think that music is weaponized? I mean, I hear you, what you're saying about rattling bass. I'm a fan of being in a car with bass bumping, by the way, but just, okay. You know, like that's a thing too, like a big hip hop song with like the right. Bass goes crushing the 808s and everything. It's
right.
That's another kind of energy that can be fun, but I'm just curious if you think music is ever weaponized in a more,
I think it can be,
sort of pointed way.
I think it can be. So probably the best answer to that is I'm medically trained, so I observe people and I observe conditions of people. And so, and it's interesting because even Jesus, Yeshua, he said, you'll know them by their fruits. And mm-hmm. So if we don't judge people, but at the same time, we are fruit inspectors. I think the same could right. be said about music as well. What is the what effects are you observing on people when that music is in play?
Right.
That's the thing that I look at.
Interesting. Yeah, because I wonder about that because, you know, I'm, you know, 50 myself, so I'm getting up there too. But I just, you know, the emotion of music, okay, regardless of what frequency it's tuned to, there's like
right,
that
yeah.
emotional music that used to be sort of more popular back in the day. I'm thinking of a lot of like, you know, the Beatles or like
right.
James mm-hmm. Taylor or stuff like that, that has this sort of heightened emotionalism that makes you feel good, though. It makes you feel right. that empathy kind of register. I noticed that there's that factor in music has gone missing largely. There's this like, you know, there's this like snazzy pop vibe a lot, but it's kind of cold.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's an effect on humanity.
And it, you know, going to the, you know, sticking with the observing the fruit concept, as we look out on the landscape of our world today, it has become a much colder place. There's a lot more strife. There's a lot more depolarization going on, and people are having a much harder time connecting. And then this last 2 years we've been through, we're really having a hard time connecting now. And I think that's even bleeding through into the music that's coming out. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, if you listen to like a really beautiful Bob Dylan song or something, it's hard to then go attack someone on Twitter. You know what I mean? It's
like, yeah, right. But I was in a recording studio one time, and they had a poster up on the wall. It said, "Music is what feelings sound like." And right. I thought that's really profound in many ways, because so kind of reverse that thought, you know, the music that we're hearing is revealing to us the thoughts that are taking place around us, you know. So
you bring up the studio, and I'm wondering what your process is like. I haven't investigated your music yet, but I'm definitely going to. Even this evening I plan to. But I'm assuming you do solo recordings at times, solo harp performance, but do you ever engage with other musicians, other producers? I have this Moog synthesizer right in front of me right now, this Moog One. Oh, okay. It's an amazing synthesizer, and I could tune this to 444 as well. So if you ever want to collaborate, tell me about your process in the studio.
Well, I had, up until 3 CDs ago, a friend of mine had a studio. He's done a lot of country music recording, very skilled in mastering and everything. And he was in a terrible fire in Paradise, California, and just wiped everything out. A lot of my original tracks went up in smoke along with it. So at least I had my masters to preserve my stuff. But if I wanted to go back and do any tweaks or any other thing, that's all gone. So what I've done since then is I have, at my own place, I have just a small, really quiet area, and so I record dry with 2 mics, one high and one low, on my instrument, and I send him that dry recording. Then he brings in all the effects, masters it. So I'm still using the same guy, but we're doing it a little differently, but it seems to be working. So
just a little laptop studio situation. I mean, nowadays, as long as you have high quality microphones, I mean, really you can be anywhere, and you know, the After Effects can really boost up things, compression and all that. So
yeah. And that's what he does, and he's really good at it. So I'm very fortunate that he's on my side.
So mostly you do solo stuff.
Yeah. I have one CD I did with a friend of mine that plays cello, and that came off really well. I'm very happy with that CD. We were able to do that in the studio before it burned. So that was all done in the studio. And, we call him Cello John. He's a very interesting person. He's very challenged socially, but he's incredibly brilliant on the cello. So it was a lot of fun to work with him.
Yeah. And when you tour, I'm assuming you're going to lots of hospitals and stuff like that. Do you play in normal music halls as well?
Yeah, I do both. I try to reach out to senior homes and hospitals where I go, because I just have that soft spot, because that was my profession. I don't work as a registered nurse anymore because we're just touring all the time. My wife is a storyteller, and she writes scripture stories from a first person standpoint. In fact, there's 3 of those stories on my YouTube channel, if you ever want to hear what she does. But then I play the harp in the background of that story. So that's another multimedia kind of action of bringing the word and the music together as well. And so we call it harp and story. And we do churches. We've done all kinds of different venues. And it's a lot of fun. You meet a lot of great people and keeps us on the road. So
How do you travel with a harp? Is it a smaller version, or is it a massive harp that you bring in a case? Do you have problems at the airport? Or
when I fly to Australia or Israel or wherever, I have a smaller 26 string. It's called a harpsichord, and it actually will fit in the overhead bin of an airplane. I tried checking a harp one time and it got broken, and I'm not going to do that again. But it has good sound. In fact, my video at the top of my YouTube channel is a harpsichord that I'm playing with there in Israel in the Christchurch, which has incredible acoustics. And but I normally have my larger Voyager that I build. It's a 34 string, and it sleeps on the bed in our fifth wheel when we travel around. So
what a life, man. I mean, do you have problems at the airports with, like, I know I'm a, you know, traveling musician myself. So when I get my guitars on the plane, and I always do, I get lots of dirty looks from people. So they resent you.
Well, it's interesting. The worst trouble I have is with the TSA guys.
Right.
Because it has to go through their scanner. And then the, sometimes at the ticket counter, they say, "Oh, that's too big. You can't take that." And I said, "No, you got to understand. I've flown all over the world with this thing, so it fits in the overhead bin. Believe me. Well, we'll let you take it up to the gate, but if they tell you it has to get checked, then you'll have to check it." And I'm always able to take it on in. So, but sometimes at the TSA, they'll say, "Well, can you play that?" So I said, "Sure, I'll do whatever you want me to cassette," you know. So that's kind of fun too, because you have you're hauling a harp around and people have never seen one. So there's a lot of opportunities to break it out and have some fun with people. So
yeah, the routine is like you go past the TSA, they tell you that, then you get the gate and they give you the orange gate check thing. And then on my way like towards like the plane, I take the orange tag off and wrap it up in my hand. I have my routine.
I'll have to remember that.
Yeah.
I haven't had to do that yet.
That's the way to do it. All right, we'll be right back with Steve Reese after these words on TNT.
World Economic Forum founder Klaus Schwab is back, and he has an offer you can't refuse on taking the COVID vaccine.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
Yes, Klaus Schwab of the Great Reset fame had this to say about vaccines.
Nobody will be safe if not everybody is vaccinated.
You heard that correctly. Nobody will be safe if not everybody is vaccinated with the COVID-19 vaccines. Now, this despite the fact they don't prevent infection, they don't prevent transmission, they have horrible profile side effects, and natural immunity is far superior, according to multiple studies. But the World Economic Forum is not interested in epidemiology, public health, or science. They are interested in power and control. How else to launch the Great Reset? For the Morano Minute, this is Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
What if you were wearing something sexy? What if you were drinking? What if you made the first move? No matter what, sexual assault is never your fault. Support is available 24/7 through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Call 1-800-656-HOPE or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.org. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN, reminding you it's never your fault.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
George Soros-backed attorneys include Alvin Bragg from Manhattan, New York, elected in 2021, stated that his office would not be seeking prison sentences for crimes such as armed robbery, drug dealing, and burglary. Under Joe Gonzalez from Bexar County, Texas, violent crime reportedly increased by 15% in San Antonio, while convictions dropped by 17%. John Cruzat became the DA of Dallas County in 2018 and immediately moved forward with a plethora of radical reform policies, including decriminalizing theft under $750, criminal trespass, and drug possession. During his first year in office, crime reportedly increased by 15%, while total convictions dropped by 30%. Jose Garza, elected in 2020 as Austin's DA, has developed a reputation for letting violent Island offenders go free on little to no bail. Gaza released hundreds of inmates from jail over COVID-19 protocols, even though only 6 people in Austin at the time were known to have had COVID-19. Under Gaza, police budgets have been slashed and Austin has experienced skyrocketing crime rates and a record number of homicides.
Get breaking news on your phone when it happens. Download our app from the Google Play and App Store now.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And we're back with harpist Steve Reese, who's also a nurse. I'm wondering, Steve, what's your take on the state of the world lately and the state of healthcare and, you know, the big turn that's taken there and all the controversy in our world? Do you have strong opinions or thoughts in that regard?
Oh boy, I have very strong thoughts and opinions for sure.
Well, here's a place, here's a world where you're allowed to speak your mind. So have at it if you want to.
So my thoughts of the time we're in is that, you know, we speak about the music being used to in a negative way. And I think that's just a sign of many other things that are being used to try to, there's just a very small number of people that are really making the decisions in the world today. And mm-hmm. they're seeking more and more power, more and more ways to control people. You know, I look at the last 2 years and that seems to, they probably are smiling all the way to the bank as things turned out better than they thought they would, I think. And I was just with a program yesterday that a pastor was speaking very clearly. He said, you know, the church, the condition of our world today is a problem with the church, because we're supposed to be the light, but we've allowed these people, the small number, if you want to call them elites, to make all the choices, and to the point that we even closed our doors for the last 2 years because they told us to. And we wore these diapers on our faces because they told us to. And we didn't go anywhere because they told us not to. And so we are coming to a place, obviously from my remarks all the way through this interview, I believe that scripture is a very important part of my life. And scripture tells us that there is an adversary out there trying to destroy things. And and I believe that, and then scripture also tells us that there's going to come a point where that adversary is going to be, things are going to come to a head, and then there's going to be redemption. And so it's interesting to me, you go to the book of Esther, Mordecai tells Esther, you have been brought to the king, who knows, but you're brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. And I believe that both historically and prophetically, we are in incredible times. None of us are here by accident. The Father has put something in each one of us that's a piece of the puzzle that's going to be, he has planned for how this whole thing is going to be dealt with. And how it's going to proceed into, I believe, a messianic kingdom with Jesus, Yeshua, will reign. And this enemy will not be in power anymore. But we're going to have to go through some hard times. And so that's one reason why I think this important, this 5:28 is important, because if we are brought to the kingdom for such a time as this, if we were designed or even created with 5:28, and if we have gotten detuned to some point, maybe we're starting to understand this, because this is the time when we need to be tuned back to our design so that we can be the most effective of what we are created to be, because we are brought to the kingdom to be who we are for this time. And so that, well said. I think it's just all coming together. So,
yeah, that's really well said. And I got to tell you, I feel like this is, a message to me to tune up. I'm gonna go on a 5:28 obsession after this. I can tell you, because I like to, I like to tinker with the machine of myself, basically, and try to optimize it. And so this is really This is really awesome. Are you, judging from your sort of feelings about what's going on, and they mirror mine, have you been disappointed that more music luminaries haven't spoken up and haven't sort of rebelled in any way? And did you ever consider yourself a true punk rock icon, really? Because the new punk would be 528 harp music, if you ask me.
There you go. Yeah, really. there are, you know, I actually am seeing more and more pick it up. So just about every time I turn around, I find somebody new that's going, hey, wait a minute, we need to be over here. So I do think it is. And I believe the Holy Spirit, you know, Jesus, when he left, he said, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit who will guide you to truth. I believe that a lot of what we're seeing with new people picking it up is this, I like to call it the swirling of the Holy Spirit, because our Heavenly Father is not going to leave us without help. As these things approach upon us, he said, I'm not giving you anything that you're not able to bear, and I'm going to give you a way to escape it. And so part of that way, I think, is going to be more and more of the musicians are going to pick this up, more and more people are going to understand how beneficial this is, not just spiritually, but also physically. You know, when I was trained as a nurse, we said, there's not just the body that we're dealing with. We're dealing with the soul, the body, with the spirit and the mind. All of those things are intertwined. And if one's affected, then the other's affected. And so the more we understand that, the more we work in that, under that, with that consciousness, I think we will be much better equipped for what's coming down the road.
Speaking of consciousness, have you noticed the effects on your consciousness of this type of music? Has it given you insight? Do you think it feeds you inspiration?
I would say it feeds the inspiration, yeah. I don't know. I just love sitting down and finding out where the chords are going to go. it's almost like this little beckoning.
But veering back to the question I asked before that one, which was, were you disappointed or sort of disillusioned that more people didn't speak up that were in the musical world?
I wouldn't say I was disappointed or disillusioned. I think more the word might be waiting. you know, when's it going to happen? Because I think I have this sense that it's going to happen. It's like one of those things. It's not if, but when. So maybe that's a better way to say where my expectation is.
And what is going to happen?
Yeah. I do think that more people will understand how beneficial this music, you know, like studies are showing, like if you go to go to a pre-op, you can take Valium to prepare you to get into the surgical suite to settle you down, or you can use music. And the study that I have posted before, they're identical in effectiveness. So why would you take a medication that costs money, that has side effects and all that, if you could do the same thing by just listening to music? So those are the kind of ways that I would like to see more. You know, even if you don't see the spiritual side of it or whatever, but just see that it's working, you know, just in a very common sense sort of way. Why wouldn't that be more beneficial instead of selling out to the pharmaceuticals all the time?
Hallelujah.
I'm glad I'm not a drug pusher anymore, because that's what I was starting to feel like in the medical field. But
they probably didn't give you much of a choice in that regard.
No, I mean, it's doctor's orders, you know. So
yeah. Now, we got about 2 minutes left of the interview, and I really appreciate you coming out. And I want you to tell people how to find your YouTube channel and everything like that. But also, you spoke a lot about faith in this interview. I'm wondering, so tell people that it's 1 minute left, but also if you can quickly answer as well, has faith been something that come to you more recently, or were you born with that?
I was born with faith. I spent 9 months in church before I breathed my first breath. So that's part of my life. But I have to say that I was not serious until I was into my 30s. So it was kind of something.
Okay, tell people about your YouTube channel. Got 30
YouTube
seconds.
Channel is Peregrinati, Peregrinatti. That's the channel name. And if you'd say Steve Reese Harp on YouTube, that comes up. So
it'll come up. All right. Yeah, thanks, Steve. Got to cut
you
off. Got to go.
All right.
But appreciate you coming out. Take care. Keep listening, everybody. Back with more on TNT.